Dicen. Yeah, the race is very positive.
Robert Schiller earlier on today. We're hoping to make another film like we did for Hanukkah and for Tishbar, but for Pesach. But if we're doing it, I've got to hear back from the cameraman, we'd probably have to film it next week in order to be able to get it all edited together in time, because it's not that far. So I just want to ask, is everybody who is here? Again, we'll be looking for sort of like a 15 to 20 minute idea, not more, maybe 15 minutes of that. On the Haggadah, something Haggadah related or Seder related. And then I'll come back. I really don't know whether it be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, next week. It'd probably be one of those days because it's pretty much the end of the week. What days are you not here?
Yeah, so I mean, I could make any day, but Sunday I can't be here before 2 p.m.
Okay, any day, but not Sunday before 2. I think it's more likely to be Monday or Tuesday anyway, but I'll come back and let you know this one's check in principle if it was okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent, very good. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, somewhere.
Usually not. It depends. I mean, they should tell you tonight. They tell you tonight what you're allowed to do. But I mean, Astam, there's something. There is copyright, and then there's Dina de Malchusetina and Gazel and other inyanim like that. It is a big machlokas. Does halacha recognize copyright? But l'chomer, one should be machmir. So
meaning even if it's tzvarim, let's say tzvarim that are written, there's no copyright.
If they're old tzvarim, so it expires. So then you could.
And even though Yitzhar Chachma itself might be losing money, if I could get it from someone else, let's say someone has Yitzhar Chachma, I could go and ask him for a sefer.
Answer the question. Well, no, but one second. In other words, but they scan the sefer, right? So you're essentially printing from the scan.
Yeah.
So the kshayla would be, since they invested time and money in the scan, there may be a makom. In other words, it may not be a copyright issue. But you're right. Maybe it depends. If it's a sefer that you could easily copy from a base medrash, you can copy from Yitzhar Chachma, but it's not copyright. L'may nafkamina.
I think if you could technically get it.
Yeah, in other words, for kids, safer that you can't get, except for what they did, there's more of a side. But I think Yitzhar Chachma. But here's the thing: if there's no copyright, I think Yitzhar Chachma Gufa matches printing. I mean, you pay extra. Yeah. I mean, I had a one day for some reason we can't get Yitzhar Chachma. You can get it in the Beis Medrash, right?
I don't know.
They tell me you can get it in their Smash Beis Medrash. Somehow, there's a wireless connection, but you can't get it in the office here. So. So I bought, you can buy it for a day. You can buy it like a day at a time. So I bought it for a day, whatever, it was very cheap for a day.
Well, you get the whole hard drive or online?
Online. Uh-huh. You can buy it for a day, but then you have to pay extra for printing. If you just need a specific thing, it's not a big deal. So they say, with the printing license, you can print 500 pages. So vice versa, if you have the full Yitzhar Chachma, mitzad them, you can print whatever you want. So it's not shaykh for them to be mocked, because if they don't want you to print it, they can prevent you from printing it. Because there are some svarim, they say, you literally cannot print. Probably because of copyright or something.
That's interesting. I know the place that does it.
So I would think whatever is shayach to print, mainly you can print, because Yitzhar Chachma is not makiv.
So the place that does it, officially that's what they do.
They print Yitzhar Chachma.
Really? They charge you for
it. Where's the place?
Sometimes near the Chachma. Could be that contract with Yitzhar Chachma or whatever it is.
I mean, I don't know what you need a contract for. I mean, Yitzhar Chachma lets you print this. That's what they say.
They make sure every page has, says Yitzhar Chachma all over.
Right. That's a tremendous thing. Yitzhar Chachma. Now, Hebrew Books is another website where everything's for free, but it's not as complete, and they don't have newer things.
So, our shalom today was just Stickelrov and told us, so I'm doing research for something, and whatever it was, I need to take out pictures of people, writing with little bios. Right. So some of them were women. And if I go, and let's say Google Images, search a woman, some of the pictures are pretty sadistic.
Right.
And let's say I even want to like take a photo of the priestess, they can like crop out the head. So is that logically okay?
In terms of what, the copyright? Or the ghetto?
No, not copyright. I'm assuming I'm looking for public domain.
What's wrong with cropping off the head? It's good.
No, I'm saying, am I allowed to, I mean, I need to do this.
Yeah. Oh, you're allowed to be Miss Tocchio in order to crop out the head. And you have to look at the pictures, right?
Yeah.
It's a good Shiloh, but the emesis, if you're a Torah Biomnis, that's the question. The question is, it's different than a doctor, I think. It's different than... because here, if the umnus is to be mistakel to see who's a single person, you're talking of focusing on the physical. I mean, what are you?
No. Let's say I'm writing little biographies about each person, so I need a picture on top of the biography.
Okay, I mean, I think you could be saying that you're really Torah in the umnus. You're just looking. You're not mistakel for Anna. You're not mistakel for.
So you know how to look. Which picture is better? Which picture is she looking better in?
Well,
no one I'm asking.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So I want you to be mashum a little bit because there were some things I. First of all, I think you had asked me, where is the shach? Again, if you remember we have the machlekes. Remember the machlekes Rambam and Ramban, right? Rambam shita is chibuk v'nishuk, vayerva is usher min atayra. Ramban says chibuk v'nishuk of erva is only usher midrabanan, right? That's a machlekes. But then we have a machlokes, like either one, what if it's called negiya she'eina shel chiba? Touching, which is not for affection or the like. So I had mentioned that there's a machlokes, the Beis Shmuel says in Eben Ezer that negiya she'eina shel chiba is asur midrabanan, but I had said that the shach is masik, that negiya she'eina shel chiba is not even asur midrabanan. So you had asked me, where is the shach? As I said, it was in Hilchos Nida. Taka is in Kuf Nun Zayin, Sivkat and Aleph.
Isn't there a Taz? Maybe that says something.
Kuf Nun Zayin. Now what?
Kuf Nun Zayin is not Kuf Begimel Chitoshina.
What's? I saw it in Rav Moshe's Tshuva. I didn't even have a Shulchan Aruch. What? Where is Kuf Nun Zayin? It's not Hilchos. It's before Hilchos Nida. So what is in Kuf Nun Zayin, Taka? Hilchos. What? What is it? No, Kuf Nun Zayin is the simon. Why would it be? Okay, I have to say, okay, but...
Eben
Ezer? No, that's the Aridea. No, the Eben Ezer is in Chafei. Chafei is the Beishmo. Okay. Now, the other thing is I wanted to tell you that this thing about aunt, the Chilukin aunt and sister, it's not just Rav Moshe, it's the Lashon of the Rambam itself. So here there are two Rambams it's kedai to look at. The first Rambam, this is in Isurei Bia, Perek Chaf Aleph, right? Perek Chaf Aleph, Isurei Bia. So this is where the Rambam says, Kala ba'ala erva shechibek v'nishek derech taiva. If it's derech taiva v'nene b'kiruv basor, hareza leike min ha'taira, as it says, leisik revulagales erva. So in Perek Chaf Aleph, Halacha Aleph, this is where the Rambam says, that the chibuk v'nishuk, which is derech taiva, nena b'kiruv basor, is an iser d'oraisa. Okay, so that we know already. But then, if you go a little further in the perek, this is again perek chaf aleph, halacha vav. Halacha vav. The Rambam is meisiv the following prat. The Rambam says, hamachabek. This is really his chiddush. Hamachabek. Achas min ha'arayat she'ein libay shel adam nashfei alayim o she'nashak li'achas mehen. If a person hugs or kisses an erva to which a person's heart is not nakif, meaning a person is not sexually aroused, and he gives him three examples, kigain achoso hagdayla V'achais imai uchiyase bahen, and Rav Moshe adds that achais aviv is the same. So the Rambam has a case of three arayas, which are not considered to be arousing. This is achais gedela. The achais gedela is much to be menashik. Achais gedela, achais imai, and Rav Moshe adds achais aviv. So here the Rambam says, afal pish ein shem taiva. even though there's no taiva, below hana klal, hareze meguna biyaser, it is meguna. Meguna is like disgusting. The davar aserhu, he says davar aser, umaisa tipshinhu. So the Rambam uses three expressions: meguna biyaser, davar aser, maisa tipshin. Shane Craven, the Arab cloud, Ben Gedele Ben Stan, Chutzmi Yaim, Livna, Biav Libita. So this is where the Prisha in Ebenezer Chafe says, so it's not just a Prisha, the Prisha says that even though the Rambam does say the words, Dovor Osorhu, it's a big Kiddush, Dovor Osor doesn't mean, the Rambam does not mean that it's Osor even Midrabanan. But it's really an emphatic way of emphasizing that it's a shtus, it's a foolish thing, it's a non-refined thing. So it turns out, therefore, that for these three arayas, again, the Rambam mentions two of them. The Rambam mentions Achais Gedola and Achais Imai, and Rav Moshe says Achais Aviv Maishna would be the same thing. The Rambam holds that not only is there no daraisa of chibur, that's for sure. It's mukhik from the Rambam that it's not a daraisa. That's for sure. Even under a strict interpretation, davar aser could only mean midrabanan. But the way the Prisha understands it, not only is there no iser daraisa, but there's not even an emistik a iser d'rabanan. It's considered mechuar, maguna, tipshus. No, that means you don't do it. That means you don't do it. But memela. That's what I was saying. There are studim b'chiyai gavne that not only for achais ha'gedayla, but even for your aunt, achais aviv v'achais imai, you're not dealing with the chaymer of even an isser d'rabbanan. You're dealing with a davar meguna, and the meila there may be a makom to be mako for darchei shalom and the like l'chala pachas if it's biakroi. So it's not just the Rav Moshe. The only thing Rav Moshe adds to the Rambam, which is Horus, he adds Achais Aviv into the mixture, because the Rambam, for some reason, does not mention Achais Aviv.
Where's the Prisha?
Prisha is in Ebenezer, in Chafes, in Chafes. Yeah. Yeah. So that's an important Horus. Now, again, I don't want to represent more than is the case. The Prisha himself does not give a heter for Darchei Shalom. He just says it's not an Isra Drabbanan. I think it's shayach to extrapolate from that lundus, but the Prisha himself does not extrapolate any particular heter from that lundus. Now, the thing is, remember though, two important qualifications, that this is limited to what the Rambam calls arayais she'ein libay shaladam naikvay, and mimela, this would only apply to a nephew towards his aunt, a nephew towards Achais Aviv Yachais Ima, a niece towards her uncle, a niece towards the Achav the Aviv, right, is for sure going to be Asher. And the reason is because Avada, there's Taiva there, because it's shy for them to get married. Remember, a niece is allowed to marry her uncle.
What is that?
And if a niece could marry her uncle, then it's the same as any other man. If it's
why?
Not, what?
I mean, that's a nice piece of lundus, but it's not what's the size of facts or whether it's Libay Daikva.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we certainly don't look at an individual thing. I can have a million people and it's not
people,
even enough.
Don't think of relatives like in terms of lundus, like am I halachically allowed to get in?
Yeah, but that's how the system works. The system vade does not work on whether a yachid is aroused or a yachid is not aroused. So it would have to be definitionally anybody you're allowed to marry, we would have to be chayshesh l'chalapachas, there's a taiva spia. Because if an uncle could marry a niece, it's not shy to say that it's beyond taiva spia. That's one thing. And the other thing, which is less clear, is that for some reason, this is only achaysai, achaysavav, and achaysimai, but if it's an aunt through marriage, if it's the wife of an uncle. Now, again, I don't know exactly why that wouldn't be, why that's not called Ein Libay Naikvay, but apparently, even Rav Moshe writes that at most this is a relaxation of the relationship of the sister of my mother, sister of my father, it would not apply to the wife of my father's brother or my mother's brother.
Where's the niece marry uncle?
Huh?
Where's the niece marry his uncle?
Well, you see, Yevamos, but I mean, you see, Beferish, right? That's the case. The first mission in Yevamos talks about a daughter falling liyibam to her father, and the co-wife is a tzores erva, right? So, how does a daughter fall liyibam to her father? Because his brother marries his brother's daughter, right? A brother marries a niece. Mimela, a daughter falls liibam if he dies, and that's an erva. And if you recall the whole mission in Yevamos, that if there's a tsaras erva, the erva asers the tsara. So not only does the survivor not marry his daughter, but he's not even miyabim the tsaras, the co-wives. Right? That's the halacha, that the tsaras erva. So it's mukhrach. Now it's an interesting asymmetry. You know, that's very true. Why, you know, why does the Torah, you know, For an aunt to marry a nephew is achos aviv, achos imai, it's a chiv d'araisa, it's an isur koris. And yet for an uncle to marry a niece, it's considered to be mutar l'chatchila. I mean, maybe genetically it's not the greatest thing, but it's mutar l'chatchila. Why you have that symmetry, you know, that asymmetry, I don't know, but Mamela in the parsha of Arayas, that's a very, very clear, distinction. I have something else I wanted to mention, only because people were asking me shailas. It's a bit of a delicate, topic. Should I mention? Okay, I'm going to mention it very quickly. I don't want to take a lot of questions. I just want to give you information, because sometimes you will be asked these questions. So I want to give you just some quick few makoros on this thing, but I don't want to be marich. And again, in fact, I was thinking only the married people, but okay, all right. Shlomo, we'll put in becheskes kashrus. That is, people often ask the question about certain types of intercourse between husband and wife, whether they are permitted. Is it only regular bia that's permitted, or other types of sexual relations permitted? So let me give you a makor, and then a big machlokes rishonim in how to paskin. The Gemara in Nedarim on Chof Mitbeis has a brisa from Rav Yochanan ben Dahavoy. He was an Amayra. He was a Tana. It's a brisa. Rav Yochanan ben Dahavoy. Okay, I think it's maybe the only place he's mentioned in Shas, so it's interesting that this is his teaching. And he says, Sachli Malachi Hasharis. I heard from the Malachi Hasharis. That's pretty authoritative, although not in halacha, lo b'shamayim. And the Gemara itself has a machlokes. Was this epis mamish some type of vision from Malachi Hasharis mamish, or is he referring to the chachamim who are daimel Malachi Hasharis, meaning it's a messiah? And he talks about the fact that why are babies born in bad shape? Why are some born ilmim, and some born sumim, and some born chigrim? And the teaching that he attributes it is through certain perversions in the act of bia. And the four things that he mentions four things that one is not allowed to do, because that is the, well, not because, but you know, it's not a good thing, and therefore it's pagan the blood. And the four things that he mentions is not to be naishek b'yaisei makam, right? Not to be naishek b'yaisei makam. The other is not to be mistakel b'yaisei makam. So nishika, histaklus. The third thing seems to be relatively minor, but it's one of the biggies. He says not to have conversation during tashmish. But again, the Rishayim explain that the yisur of sicha during tashmish is only if it's what you might call lewd talk, you know, lewd talk, and also things that you would need to be meratzeh, husband and wife is mutcher, but sicha, which is nivol peh, that is usher. And the fourth thing is bia shalai kedarka, which is anal from the back, bia shalai kedarka. So these are four devorim that he seems to be saying are usher. Histaklus b'yaisei makam, nishika b'yaisei makam, sicha derech nivol b'shas tashmish, and b'yashalei kedarga. Now that's what he said. Then the Brisa says, "V'chachamim matirin." The chachamim matir that a person can do with his wife, with her rishus. It means what do with his wife. Kol ma sheyirza. So we have an apparent machlokes in the Brisa. There's a machlokes the Rambam in the Ravid. How to learn the chachamim? The Ravid says that the chachamim are only cholek on the last thing. They permit bia shelo kedark, although there's a problem with that too. But avada on neshika and histaklus and even sicha nivol peh b'shas tashmish, hakol meidim, that it is aser midina. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Ravid in Simen Reish Mem, and that's why Simen Reish Mem is in Arachayim. It's Arachayim. It's a Simen on Inyanim of Tashmish, Mamish in Arachayim. That's why if you just look at the Mechaber in Arachayim, you will see the Mechaber says, as a Dover Mukhlet, that there's an Isser of Neshika and an Isser of Histaklus B'Yosei Makam. And that's Miyusad on the Ravid. However, the Rambam, this is very unusual if the Mechaber doesn't go like the Rambam. The Mechaber very rarely passes like the Ravid, connected to the Rambam. But the Rambam learns that the Chachamim matir everything. The Chachamim matir everything, including Neshika, and including Histaklus, B'Yosei Makam. And the Ramah, in Eben Ha'ezer, actually, it's Eben Ha'ezer Chafei, actually paskins like the Rambam. So although the Svarim say that it's not Derech Tznias and it's not Derech Kedusha to do these things, they're certainly not encouraged. But the common perception that Shika V'Yosei Makam and Histaklus V'Yosei Makam is absolutely usher is not 100% true. According to the Ramah follows the Rambam, and the Rambam actually matches it. The Rambam learns that the Chachamim are chaylek on all of the things that Rav Yochanan ben Davoi says that one shouldn't do. And even though the Mechaber in Reish Mem says like the Ravid, and the Ramah, it's a kashataka, why doesn't the Ramah say anything in Reish Mem? I don't know. It's a bit of a tzorachian, but in Eben Ha'ezer, the Ramah actually matters Neshika B'Yosei Makam and Histaklus B'Yosei Makam. Which is an interesting issue, because if you know, when people talk about natural childbirth, right, people say, can I be with my wife in the delivery room? So to hold her hand would be a shayla, she becomes a nida. But what if I just want to be there? Or sometimes they put a mirror so you could see the baby come out. I mean, this is what, secular. It's brought down by a lot of shitas that this is not at all permitted, because this would involve histaklus b'yosei makam, which the Shulchan Aruch says is usher. But the emes is yesh lahayir, that according to the Ramah and Eben Ha'ezer, that type of histaklus b'yosei makam, she's a nida. That would be the problem. The problem would be right. You're right. The Valchi becomes a nida. So that's l'cholapachas histaklus b'makayimus hamachusin. Yeah, you're right. But if she would be tahira, I know you let us not. But by tahira, you wouldn't automatically have an
issue. Isn't it after by a shas that you're involved in relations? That's what this is.
That's what we're talking. We're talking about
relations. Suppose she's giving birth to these other things.
It could be only to be Myra Tivus B. Now, again, I don't want to be Myra, but I just want to mention. In Eben Ha'ezer, Eben Ha'ezer, Simon Chafei. Reish Mem, or Rechayim Reish Mem. Yeah. So again, I don't want to be Marach, I just wanted to give you this idea. Now, I just want to mention one other Nakuda, though. You get into another problem, a very serious problem, that the one thing that the Rambam and the Ravid are both maskim to is Bia Shalokidarka. Because they both learn the Chachamim are maturing Bia Shalokidarka, but the Rambam learns they're maturing more. But here the Rambam adds a very interesting quirk that's almost an impossibility. The Rambam says everything is mutter, but the one thing you can't do is to be mitzi zera levatola. So there seems to be a kind of an impossibility here. Bia shalokidarka is mutter, but you can't be mitzi zera levatola. In bia shalokidarka, the zera by definition is not going to be nichnas into the makam of Hiraya. So here they talk a say that according to the Rambam, at least, if the Rambam says you cannot do Bishwal, if you cannot be Maitzi Zara, he means that you could have Kisha and you could be Maschil the Bia Shalokadarka, but the Gemar Bia, you know, has to be the correct way, which would mean practically it's not really going to work. It's a theoretical hedger. But there is a Taisus in Yavamis, Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, who says a tremendous chiddush in the second teretz to Akasha, that Taisus in Yavamis, Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, actually says that Bia Shalo Kedarka, even if it's Mashchis, even if the Zera goes Levatala, is Mutter Biakroi, so he doesn't define Akroi, if your kavana is not to be mashchis, but it's for taivas bia. In other words, if your kavana is your mashchis, you don't want to get pregnant, that's the maise erviona. But if it's being done as part of hanas bia, zaktaisvis, it's not called levatala, because the dimion would be, that's not a raya, but the dimion would be, just like you can have tashmish with a zakena, or an akara, who can't have children, but we don't say it's levatala because it's part of a maisa bia. So Taisus wants to say lechala pachas biakroi that bia shalokadarka has a shame bia, and since it has a shame bia, it would not be called levatala. Now, what's interesting is this is Taisus and Yavamis. The Tor in Eben Ezer Chafhei brings the Taisus and Yavamis. The Beis Yosef, however, says on the Tor that if the Tor would have seen the Zohar's Lashon on the Chaymer of the Isser of being Maisi Zera Levatala, the Tor never would have brought Taisus, and in the Shulchan Aruch this day is not even brought, and the Ramah doesn't bring it either. So it's interesting that there is a Shita Sataisus that is B'chlau not brought.
Doesn't the
Ramah
bring the Rambam?
The Ramah brings the Rambam, yeah, but the
Rambam...
Yeah, the Ramah brings it. Yeah, that's right. So Mimela, it's Mukhrach that the Ramah doesn't hold of Taisus and Yavamis.
According to the
Zohar,
then, is the
Kena
or pregnant person?
No, that's going to be much. The Zohar is not saying you can't have Tashmish with the Zakena. That for sure you could. But the Dimion of Bia Shalokadarka to Zakena. Yeah. Okay. So again, I don't want to be marich, but I just want to give you an idea because the, unfortunately, in our day and age, these questions do come up, and it's hard to find a little bit.
What's the rule of thumb generally for people?
Well, it depends where a person's holding it. Certainly, if a person wants to be nayeg biktusha, you don't do this stuff, but. But sometimes people have difficulties. Sometimes people have difficulties in arousal levels and the like, and they want to know temporarily or whatever, can these alternatives be used? So depending, there is a room to permit certain things if that's necessary. But again, a person, the chatchila, if a person is able to function in the regular way, that is how you really should do it. So that's why I'm reluctant. I don't want to give people a terum, but I'm just warning. I know from experience that these are questions that you will sometimes get. Okay, all right, sounds good. Yeah, let's go. Let me go on to the next one. Yeah.
With a lot of this is a sensitive topic. With a lot of abuse happening in families.
Yes.
It could be uncles or sometimes even could be fathers.
Yes.
And any gedarim, in some reaches, unfortunately, they say it is shkiach. It does happen.
Well, the one thing I'll tell you. Oh, the Jashim, would that change the halachas of chibur kedushin?
Not halachas, any gedarim which might be worth recommending, or people ask. There's some question which should be ma'ir chashab.
Well, certainly there are warnings. I mean, the one thing I'll tell you, and this is an important shaila. This was a big controversy in the States. That is, initially, let's say, God forbid, there's a situation of a relative abusing a girl or a boy, whatever it would be. And the question is, do you call the police? Do you call social services? Do you call protective custody, whether it's in Eretz Israel, whether it's in America? And some people raise the question, that Chazal say there's Mesira to turn somebody over to non-Jewish authorities or secular authorities, not Al Pi Beis Din, is an Avla, a Masor, state in the Gemara in Bava Kama, doesn't have a Chelek in Olam Haba, and used to be that a Masor could be killed, they would some kill him without Hasra, because a Masor is called a Reidef, and especially among Hasidim. Hasidim had a strong tradition, as it were, that you never call the police on anything, and there are some major cases in New York in which somebody did turn someone over to the police, and they got ostracized, they got imcheirim, because. So I just want to say that again. You need to know. I'm sure you've heard it anyway, that Rabbi Yashiv Paskind, that legabe child abuse and the like, the abuser has a din of a reidef mamish, and Vivaldi has a din of a reidef. So although you don't kill him, if you can disable him by calling the police, but he says there's absolutely no isser in calling the police.
Is
and getting
molestation or physical abuse, or it doesn't matter?
He was talking about sexual molestation, but physical abuse would be the same thing. And he says the following, he says another chiddush, he says, and even if the state will take the child out of the home, which they might, and put him with non-Jews, put him in a geisha environment that's safe, you're still mechuyev al slay samad al dam reyecha to have him relocated.
Wow.
Now, Rabbi Yashiv said it was feirish, and
it's
Mela,
so here's
the big issue. So Rabbi Yashiv said, however, that one problem that exists is that you don't know, you suspect. Are you supposed to report a suspicion? I mean, there are false accusations. Sometimes even if a kid says something, it's lav dafka, etc. In fact, I'll give you some examples of that. So Rabbi Yashiv's language was the following. Rabbi Yashiv's language was, there has to be raglayim ledavor. Now, Rabbi Yashiv did not elaborate. Raglayim ledavor means it can't just be you're worried about it, you think there may be a problem. There has to be raglayim ledavor, there has to be, well, the legal term would be probable cause. Now, there's a big machlokas, and people go crazy over this. I myself got in trouble when I was 2 years ago in New York for a Sameach. So one of the Jewish radio shows wanted to interview. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. They wanted to interview me about child abuse things. So I said something.
I'm just curious. Why did they want to interview you about this?
Because I had a legal background, and I'd given a talk in New York on it, Masira, the Sinyana. But I said something, and I see, what happened was this. The shaila is like this. Who determines whether there's raglayim ledavar? Let's say I'm a balabais, and I see certain things, and I'm worried. Do I just call the police, or do I need someone to paskin for me this raglayim ledavar? So Aguda took the position, they kind of changed it now, Aguda took the position that this is a shaila in halacha like every other shaila, that you have to go to a rav and you have to tell the rav what you saw, and the rav will paskin, is this enough raglayim ledavar to go to the authorities? Now that doesn't have to be a long drawn out process. We're not talking about a Beis Din that'll take 10 months or whatever it is. This could be a 10 minute conversation. So I had said, I really just said what Aguda said. I just said that the understanding is that since you can only go to the authorities if there's raglayim ledavar, so memela the hashara of raglayim ledavar should be a matter of psak halacha, go to a rav. But in the modern Orthodox community, this is anathema. They go absolutely crazy because to them, and maybe they're right a little bit because this is the bitter experience, going to a rav by definition means it's going to be swept under the rug. The rav is always going to say, don't report it, let's go to a Beis Din, which a Beis Din can't do anything at all. So they taina that going to a rav is the same thing as saying cover up, don't report, ignore, and they point, rightfully so, to Kama Vakama Maisim, where, you know, the Rabbanim told people not to go, not to report, etc. So because of this, in the modern Orthodox community, the big mantra was, when you have reasonable suspicion, they don't even use Ragam Dover, you go and report, you're Mechayev's report, you don't talk to a Rav at all. And even a good have backtracked a little bit. To me, it's a lot about its semantics, because if it's really borer that there's reglaim with dover, I don't need a rub. I would be maskim when it's a dover borer. Sometimes it's not a dover borer, so you need some daya outside of yourself. So I'm not sure. They make it as if there's this huge machlokas between a good and the OU. I don't really think there's a huge machlokas. I think mara marchan marachada, meaning I don't have to go to a rub every time if it's pretty obvious. But if there are, you know, sveikas. I mean, listen. A person always talks over. I mean, something like this can change a person's life. And I'll give you a Maisa Shahaya in my own community. I used to live in Silver Spring, Maryland. So there was a couple, you know, from couple, modern Orthodox couple. And their child, they were not accused of abuse, their child, their 11-year-old, was accused of sexually abusing a 10-year-old. And they reported this to the police, etc. And the police and the social services of Montgomery County, Maryland, investigated three times. And every time they found it was groundless. And it turned out that the accusing family were just literally crazy people who wanted to destroy this family. Now, you should know, once an accusation is made against a person or their children, it is as if they are dead. Their life is over. People refused to allow the kid to go anywhere, people to go to camp, to go to shul. They ostracized the family. They treated it as Rishoyim Mamish. And even though the police, you know, cleared them three times, and I remember there was a meeting in some shul I went to as a, it wasn't my shul. And I spoke out in favor of the family, and people shouted me down. They shouted me down. They said, get out of here, you know, well, you have no right. And here's their taina. Their taina, which is legally correct, is, just because there's not enough evidence to prove that they're guilty is not a raya that they're innocent. Which is, actually, that happens to me. So what did the police say? We don't have any proof that this happened. So what? You didn't have proof that they're innocent, you just don't have proof that they did anything.
Isn't there two different ways you can close a case? Sometimes you close it for lack of evidence, sometimes you close it because there's just nothing there.
Well, yeah, but it's still the same thing. It's still lack. It's still a lack. It's still just a lack of evidence. So they say, okay. Well, so the police didn't see it.
We can all be accused for the same thing.
That's correct.
The kid's 11 years old.
That's correct. That's correct.
He hasn't even understand his own body.
That's correct. So here's the thing. So the bizayon, the shame, the embarrassment of this family was so great that they left Maryland and they went to Florida. Wow. Okay, now Beseder. So they go to Florida.
Is there makum to be chashash? If there's a chashash, is there makum to leichash nearby? Maybe don't have the kid, you know.
It could be, but if there's an investigation, they say there's no evidence. I mean, then there's no makum to be chashash.
There's no. That's not enough. It's not good.
I don't think so.
Usually they do a pretty good job. Usually the police do a pretty.
Yes, Montgomery County, Maryland is a very it's very good. Now listen to this. So they go to Florida. They join a shul in Florida, and somebody from Maryland calls Florida and says, you don't want these people there. You know, their children, they have child abuse and this and that. And they got ostracized in Florida. They were asked to leave the shul in Florida. So what happens? They're not from anywhere. They live there, you know, they're with the Goyim. The Goyim don't care, you know, whatever it is, Goyim. There's no big deal for them. And everything's fine, except for the fact that they're not from, and their kids are not Shomer Mitzvahs. Now, what happened was, I don't know what their heter was per se, but they brought a lawsuit. They brought a lawsuit against this crazy family for defamation of character and for libel. And they won a lot of money. They're not allowed to talk about how much money they were, but it might be, you know, through insurance, whatever, it might be millions of dollars, but they're not allowed to say. So economically, l'chalapachas, they were able to, again, I don't know if there's a hedger of archives, I don't know clear what the hedger was, but they got a lot of money, and they got a written statement from the family, like with an apology that, you know, we lied. But you know, It's like they say, you know, you have this negative story in the newspaper on the first page, and then they retract it on page 50 in small print, and people know the first thing, they don't know the second thing. So I can tell you that this is a real, for a Rav, I mean, if you're in this, this is a very difficult situation. Because on one hand, there is real abuse in the world. And you can't ignore it. And you know, you're mechuyev to be chayshish, and you're mechuyev to protect children from chas v'shalom, redifa. Rabbi Yashiv called it redifa mamish. And you may ask, why is it redifa? Well, number one, it's an interesting shayla, why is it clearly redifa? It all depends. If the pshat is they're hitting the child, that's pikuach nefesh, child could die. What if it's molestation? So actually, it's an interesting shayla. So if it's mishkat zachor, that's right if achar zachor, that's nitzan matzila benafshe. But it's interesting, and it's interesting shayla. If a man is sexually molesting a girl, who's, let's say, you know, more than three, but she's a panuya.
She's not an Anita yet.
And she's not an Anita yet. So technically, if you want to be, a halachic, nitpicker, technically, that's not Gili or Arayas.
If it's daughter?
Daughter would be, but let's say, you know, you're right. Some cases it would be. But if it's not an Erva, if it's a panuya tahara that's not an Erva, why is it Radifa? So here, Rabbi Yashiv said the following. Rabbi Yashiv was using psychology. He said that the psychological devastation can render people suicidal. Does haste redifa too? In other words, it's not only the technical arayos that's the problem; it's the psychological trauma.
Psychological damage is not suicidal. Is not cool.
Psychological damage per se would not necessarily be redifa. It's not so borrowed, but the
halakha.
It's
still mazik.
It's not, but that's not.
There won't be matir.
What is this going to make them go off the derech? Is that redifa?
That could be called redifa. It's shy. Usually they express it in terms of the possibility of suicide, but it could be. It could be that. The question is. What is daicha the yisur mesira? That's the question. Because the yisur mesira is a chomer dikur. Now the Ramah says in Chashim Mishpat that redifa can be, I'm sorry, not redifa, mesira can be nitcha when the nimsar is a roide. So the question is, how literal is that a requirement? Because redifa has to involve either erba or pikuach nefesh. In other words, it doesn't say redifa's mutter b'makom hefsin. I'm sorry, mesira's mutter b'makom hefsin. Okay, so this is it. So what I learned from this case, because I don't know what to do with the knowledge because it's just more confusing, is that there is such a thing as false accusations, which can really destroy a person's life too.
What if the kid doesn't want you to say that he's being molested because he doesn't want to be famous as a molestation victim? That's also going to destroy his life. Do you have to ask the kid before telling the police?
I think you have to work with the kid for sure. I don't think the kid is a balabias totally, because abusers often have more than one person that they abuse, and mimela, you know, you have to. In other words, the kid is not a balabayas to be Michael, because there may be future victims that need to be protected. Right? You can't just say he doesn't want, so then he'll do it to somebody else.
They also get manipulated by the abuser, so it's
yeah, they get manipulated by the abuser, and
to defend, you have to protect the abuser.
Yeah, that's right. The Stockholm syndrome, whatever it is. Now they have the other issue too, though. You know that sometimes investigators plant abuse stories. Maybe not intentionally, sometimes intentionally, in the child's mind. They say, oh, did he hug you this way? Did he hug you this way? And you know, the kid said, oh, yeah, that's what he did, you know. And then you have to know, too, that if we move away from young children, and let's say we talk about teenagers, you know, this is also an issue. Teenagers often claim, not often, but they claim that they were abused by Rebbeim who hugged them or did things to them in an improper way. This is an issue that these accusations come up, and sometimes they're true. We've had in Eretz Yisrael, we've had situations. Sometimes they're really not. Sometimes kids lie; they want to get attention. They're off the derech and they kind of want to rationalize it. And sometimes they just misunderstand, which means maybe a Rebbe has an achrayus for that. Meaning a Rebbe hugs a kid. And if the kid gets sexually aroused, he interprets the Rebbe's action.
So the kid is the crush of the Rebbe.
No, that's correct. That's correct. The kid interprets something in a way that was not intended. That actually happens. Especially if the kid anyway is an oversexed, you know, hormonal, or whatever it might be. So these are real problems because you have two chiyuvim here. You know, you do have a chiyuv of leisameit to be matzil, a victimized child, very important thing. On the other hand, you know, you don't want to destroy a person who is actually innocent in many ways. That's why Rabbeim Bichlal, I mean, Bichlal, particularly at lower ages, are less physically, at least in the United States, I don't know, are less physically demonstrative than they used to be. Not everybody's afraid. I can't have your kid, you know, there's going to be a sexual abuse complaint that's going to be filed.
As a rabbi, let's say there's suspicion about someone in the community. Would that be a stage of speaking to him and warning him, saying, you know, go to the police if you don't? Like, is that also a... Not saying from that, you just go straight to the police if you have regular mental health.
To me, it would seem that if speaking to him could have some effect, some hasra, that might be today. But again, in the modern Orthodox community, they're again, and any type of thing short of going to the police, they go crazy. They go to the police immediately. But that turns into a witch hunt. Now, I'll tell you an interesting.
Psychologist who gave us a course for all year last year.
Here?
Specifically about this topic, about a lot of topics, but he's involved with these kind of things. And I asked him if therapy ever stops the person completely from ever molesting another kid, and he said almost never, ever.
Yeah, yes, it. Yes. Psychologists say that. Psychologists say abusers cannot be cured.
So what do you do for them? Lock them up?
Well, theoretically, yes, but the other way is like this. Now, they have, I mean, I don't know if they do in Israel, but in America, they have sex offender registries. So, you know, the whole neighborhood knows that this guy was convicted of molestation of children. And basically, you know, he can live in society, but they keep him away from kids. He doesn't do, you know, he has no shyness to children.
What's the point in speaking to the person, unless you're disagreeing with the psychologist? What's the point in speaking to a person and not...
Well, like the psychologist, there would be no point. But again, Yesh Lodin was that, because we do believe in tshuva. You know, again, so you have to be chayshish. I'm not saying a guy says he does tshuva. Well, it's after Yom Kippur, so for sure he's a tshuva, you know. So, about it, you have to be chayshish. But to say a person cannot change, I think if there's a strong religious motivation, a person can have many types. Now, again, I'm asking that if a person is a pedophile, meaning he has a taiva for children, he might not be able to destroy the taiva. I understand that. The taiva is a taiva. But if a person is strong enough, you know, you don't act on your taiva. You don't act on your taiva. To say that it's impossible for a person not to act on his, to control his taiva, I think that's connected to the hashkafa of the taira. That it's shaykh. A person has many taivas. It's shaykh for a person to be misgaber. So maybe the psychologist is making the point, you'll never get over the title, which is very sad, very, very sad. It is sad. But that doesn't mean a person can't be covered. Same thing with gay. It might be, a person might be born, you know, people say, oh, how could homosexuality be forbidden? You know, there's genetic, you know, okay, that's all, that's still not clear, but people say, you're born that way. Well, so, I mean, I don't mean to be insensitive. I mean, it is very, very sad. But just because you're born this way, so good. That's a person's avodah. That's a person's nisayon. A person's born that way. Good. But you're not born to do it. You're born to feel a certain way. So a person's avodah, for which he'll get much schar from Sarah Agra, is to be kaivish, right? So to say, it's not shayach for me to be kaivish because I was born that way. That's connected to the whole avodah of a person. Again, I don't mean to be insensitive. It is very, very difficult nisayon. All of pedophilia is very difficult. I mean, we look at the person as perverted. Yeah, he is perverted. But lamaisa, it is a very, very, for those who are sick in that way, it is a very, very powerful taiva. Gay is could be a very powerful taiva. Yeah, one has to have rachamim to try to help them. But
I'm sorry. Yeah. I just this is a sensitive topic.
Yeah.
If there's a 50% chance this person has, you have some definitely molested a kid, there's a 50% chance he's going to do tshuva, there's a 50% chance he's going to continue molesting kids if you speak to him. How can you speak to him and take the risk that he's going to molest another kid when he's the guilty party over here and you're putting other...
No, maybe I should clarify. When I said speak to him, I didn't mean... next time you go to the house, be sure you don't, you know... I don't mean that, but I mean harchakas, meaning we have to see that you don't, you know, you don't do this. You know, there has to be an observable standard that, you know, you keep 100 amas away, you know, from children. In other words, that's what I was saying. If you give him boundaries, and if he doesn't keep the boundaries, you will then call the police. I don't mean stop as I give him a muzzer. I wasn't saying that would be enough. But you can give him boundaries. You can say that we're going to be watching you.
He's not a bad guy. Just kind of,
you know, we're going to be watching you, and you cannot even things like, you know, these are extreme examples. You know, you cannot go into a men's room without a shomer, you know, with you, you know, etc. Yeah, things like that. You know, you have to figure out exactly what the policy would be. Okay, but this is very, very difficult. These are very, very difficult because oily, you know, either way. Now, one thing that's interesting, though.
There's an organization here called Mugging.
Yeah.
They claim to be working with the Rabbanim or with the social services.
Yeah.
Is it something which...
I'm going to have to check. If they have Haskamah of Rabbanim, you know, again, they could be working within Rebel Yashiv's Psakin.
You're not familiar with the organization.
They have a website, probably. I'll check into it. I know less about the way it is in Eretz Yisrael. Now, you know, there were big scandals in Nachlaot and other places about this, that some people committed suicide.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
The victims or the victimizer?
No, the accused victimizer, one of them committed suicide.
Oh, wow.
He hung himself, you know, whatever, the bizarrion.
And
then there are people and from people in jail. So who knows? Now again, the Israeli justice system is not known to be that as so fair. Meaning, the fact that somebody's in jail is bemis and not a riot that they're guilty, you know, whatever it is. So I don't know. But there are people who are suffering in prison because of this. And if Lamaisa they did it, they need to be put away. Now, let me just say an interesting shiloh, though. What happens is people are outed, meaning you have newspapers. So the issue is, besides Masira, by calling the police, is it Lashon Hara? So once again, if it's to be matzil somebody from harm, that's called Lashon Hara L'Tayelis. But it's L'Tayelis, it's to protect people from being hurt. But here is the shaila. Sometimes they are mafarsim abusive behavior or molestation after a person died. After a person died. A few famous cases.
Why are you?
Not because they want to, you know, because, oh, you think this guy was such a big tzaddik, let me tell you, and people come forward, and, you know, 20 boys say, you know, this Rebbe in yeshiva, or this rabbi in the shul, this principal did this, and the victims claim that this gives them a voice, that they have to get rid of the agmas nefesh and the tsar. So here, you have a very interesting shaila l'halacha. Bishlama, if there's an active guy who is still working with children, and there are victims of abuse, so they have the right, and they even have a chiyuv to come forward and be megala, because that will be an eifin in which this person can be stopped. And that's not an issur of Lashon Hara, because that's Lashon Hara L'Tayelis. And that's the heter of Masira too. You know, you hear the chah. You're not doing Masira to punish him for the past. You're doing Masira to prevent Hezek of the future. Now, let's say the guy is dead, or the guy is like 95 in a nursing home, so he's not, you know, he's
or,
not...
Or if he's arrested. He's already under
or he's
custody.
Or, he's already arrested, yeah. No. In other words, he's not a sakana to anybody. LMI. But he's such a bad guy, I want the world to know. People think he's such a big tzaddik. I want to be mafarsim. That already is a serious shaila of Lashon Hara. I don't know if it's even a shaila, it's Pashit Lashon Hara. Because Lashon Hara L'Tayelis is to be Mineya Hezek, and not to punish a bad guy for bad things that he did. And especially, it's so humiliating to the family. I mean, we had, in the East Coast, I don't want to be more specific, very, very well regarded Rav that after he died, you have more than one case, but this particular case was a well regarded Rav who, after he died, many people came forward with stories on the Jewish newspapers, you know. And this person had children who were mechanchim in yeshiva, so they were b'nei Torah. And did they know? Didn't they know? I don't know, but that they have to, you know, they have to see this about their father, such a bizayon. So you have to be mechanchim. Now the victims say they need catharsis. So like anything else, catharsis. So go to your therapist and tell your therapist about your agmas nefesh. I mean, because if that helps you get over your anger. But to be mefarsim to the world because I feel bad that my parents mistreated me. Now they tie like this. So the abuse community has alumnus like this. They say that by outing people, by revealing the pagamim of these people, that will prevent future abusers from doing this, because they know that this is a milsa davido legluye, and therefore they taina, it's an indirect taeles that will prevent future abusers, because they know that their behavior is going to be nisgale barabim. But there's a very, very serious shaila. Are you allowed to say lashon hara on Ruvain L'tayelus of preventing Shimon from doing something? I mean, the classical case is, I can say Lashon Hara on Ruvain to prevent Ruvain from doing something. Can I say Lashon Hara on Ruvain to prevent Shimon from doing something? That's not at all pashut, that Ruvain is that Ruvain's reputation becomes a korban in order to prevent Shimon from being a mazik. So this is a shaila. As I say, the newspapers love to go with this, especially Bichlal. They love anything that discredits Rabbanim or Rosh Hashivas or the Olam of Torah, so they'd love to jump on this. But Lamaisa, there's some very, very serious shilas, and so these are some horrors. But it is unfortunately, we're going to tell you, it is unfortunately an area that you're going to, you know, depending on where you work and where you what your shteller is, you're going to face these things. These things do happen. They happen in the most frum communities. Things happen, whether it's spousal abuse or child abuse, physical child abuse or molestation in different ways. And it does happen. I mean, Rabbi Yashiv's point that this is life-threatening stuff, I mean, it really is in many, many ways. People are scarred. People, years later, it affects their ability to get married and to have children. And you might think it was a mitzvah that happened when they were, you know, young, but it makes a very, very deep ration in ways that, you know, if you haven't been victimized that way, Baruch Hashem, you know, you wouldn't even be masig the depth of what this can do.
Wouldn't it obviously affecting the? I asked you about this one, but I went to two Meisim, yeah. Like they're like very similar to each other. I got two separate psak halachos. Like,
yeah.
One is an American. Like, the guy was like, you know, stalking a girl, 15-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And like psak is one way, like get to inform. You know, the parents, and right. I know this was happening. And then here, you have someone like taking pictures, stalking, things like that. Also, that same exact thing almost. And not to say, you know.
I'm sorry, are you saying the same
Paisa?
It was the same Paisa gas? What do you think?
No, different robotic. One was a rat robot in America. And I was learning with someone, and he opened up to me saying, yeah, he's open straight up, he stalks this 15-year-old girl that he used to give guitar lessons to like a year ago. And then...
And he said he's stalking?
Yeah, he said he walks by her house all the time, blah, 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 and he's like looking for her, and you know, we're wacko.
Yeah.
And like, no, so, I guess...
That may be the difference. I mean, if I'm a photographer who likes to take pictures of...
this guy was a photographer. No, this guy was just...
No, that's what I'm saying, but you're saying the second guy was a photographer.
The second one's, yeah, I would say he's always finding these girls.
So he's pictures. Just a nuisance. Well, that's the nafkamina. I'm not saying that there should be an nafkamina. You know, the nafkamina is, one is a photographer who simply infringes on people's privacy. So he's a nudge. He's a bother, and he's over on his stockless and many, many things, but he's not a raidef that possibly could endanger. I mean, a stalker, you know, could rape somebody, could murder somebody if they don't return their affection. So it's a very dangerous situation. Mm-hmm. Very, very dangerous situation. So there is a pashut enough gemini in the cases.
As a Rav Mechanech, are there things that you've given over?
So what did you do with them?
To try and be Meneah?
Did you tell the police?
No, one time I
well, to be Meneah abusers, as they say, the psychologists say that's very, very, very difficult. Because people have these taivas that it's very hard for them to control. The question is, are there predictors? Can you predict? Are there signs? What are the warnings? You know, unfortunately...
Well, you were talking about people making their own hakakas to talk about this, about that people should make boundaries for...
Well, I think we could talk about... I think that it would be kedai, at least in an American kehila, to have to work with a psychologist, to have a psychologist and a rav together give sessions in identifying abusive behavior, what to do about abusive behavior. A rav cannot do it alone. Even if the rav is knowledgeable in halacha, you need a good psychological background as well as to who is a danger, right? We can say raide, but when does a person become a raide? So I think it would be a good project for a kehila that has children in particular to have some sessions with a psychologist and a paisek to kind of deal with this. There have been some instances. The problem is, though, as I say, the first simanim of abuse are after there's abuse already. So you kind of know it when it first happens. Mm-hmm. But it's already happened. But you know, again, it's so shrekling because there are people who've been abused for years, 10 years, you know, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years. I mean, these some things can go on, mamish.
They get used to it too.
They get used to it, but inside they don't get used to it. They get used to it. They just because they feel nobody listens. Sarka v'ein mashiach. That's what we talked about. The Nara Amarasa. She cries, and nobody's going to answer. That's the massive.
Life saving kids like it. They come back for doubles.
Yeah. They think it's their fault. That's what they need to be doing.
Yeah. All right. So. All right. So tonight we'll end up a little more delicate than I thought. But okay. But actually, it was. It was kedai to talk about this.
All principal offices have to have a window.
Yes, and that's a good idea. In fact, I'll tell you something. Our whole unit here is on tznius and different harchakas. So I'll tell you this. You know, this is not children anymore. But you know, in the United States, one of the big litigation court cases are what are called sexual harassment. That's when a woman says that, usually it's a woman says the man is abusing me in different ways. And that could be anything. Maybe called me honey, you know, whatever it is, touched me. So now, there have been lawsuits where people have to pay millions of dollars, companies like GM or General Electric, millions of dollars to these victims of sexual harassment. So obviously the companies don't want to pay a lot of money. So they have employment manuals that tells employees how you have to behave so that these things shouldn't happen. So they actually write things like IBM, General Electric, General Motors. They actually write, women should be conscious of dressing in a modest way, you know, either skirts below the knee in order not to invite men. And then they say, men should not meet with women alone. They should have an open door. Now, what's so amazing is, for years and years and years, people talk about Judaism and all these separations as old-fashioned and primitive, and you know, in the modern world, you know, men and women should be able to do, you know, everything. And now, when you start reading, when you read IBM's employee manual, it sounds like a translation of Ebenezer, you know. No yichud, it's nias, you know, don't touch a woman without her permission. They match it with the permission of the halakha, so it's not quite the same. But they have all sorts of harchakas, because they're makir, what the Torah was makir, and Chazal were makir thousands of years ago. That the pshat is, there have to be boundaries, there have to be gemulim. Because when you don't have boundaries, people can do the worst possible things. It's taka emes. Maybe I shouldn't say I need to prove it from the secular world. You shouldn't have to prove it from the secular world. But I'll leave it the emes. You see, the world itself comes to the hakara that these boundaries have to be here.
It's changed a lot in the last 10, 15 years too. I was in public school. The male tennis coach would be giving the female players hugs, or
yes.
Or like the math teacher would.
Yeah, not anymore. Not anymore. I mean, not because they become tzaddikim, but because they're afraid of being sued, and they're gonna have to pay a lot of money, so they don't want to. Right, so mitoshel lo lishma, you know, bar lishma, but that's what they're afraid of.
Who else? IBM and who?
General Motors, General Electric, you know, things like that. Again, I mean, don't quote me the exact. I'm mentioning companies, but the employee manuals have dress codes.
The companies are afraid of these things.
Yes, that's the problem. That's why they care. Otherwise, they wouldn't care. I mean, they care because, I mean, listen, I can't sue a regular employee for $10 million. He's not, he doesn't have the money.
Right.
I sue the company. They have the money, in Mela, so they don't want to do it. So sexual harassment is a big, 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 big deal in the United States. And companies really don't want, they have specialists who tell people, they're madrichim, how to write an email to a woman and how to do this and that, the right lashonis. And don't meet after dark. All sorts of
really?
Things. All sorts. Don't have business meetings after dark alone. All these inyanim, All right.
Okay.